بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Moving on in our series on عمدة الأحكام, discussing the chapter that deals with the prescribed punishment, الحدود. And this is usually one of the points that disbelievers and non-Muslims raise. Why do you do this? Why do you do that? It's barbaric. It's this, it's that. So it's good that you have an insight and you understand your religion through the Quran and the Sunnah so that you can easily refute their allegations and accusations. So hadith number 349. The brother with there, with the mic.
Abu Huraira reported that a Muslim came to Allah's Messenger, may peace be upon him, while he was in the mosque. He called him saying, Allah's Messenger, I have committed adultery. The Prophet turned away from him. He again came round facing him and said to him, Allah's Messenger, I have committed adultery. He, the Holy Prophet, turned away until he did that four times. And as he testified four times against his own self, Allah's Messenger, may peace be upon him, called him and said, Are you mad? He said, No. He again said, Are you married or ever been married? He said, Yes. Thereupon Allah's Messenger, may peace be upon him, said, Take him and stone him. Ibn Shihab, one of the narrators, said, Abu Salama ibn Abdul Rahman heard Jabir bin Abdullah saying, I was one of those who stoned him. We stoned him at the Musalla. When the stones hurt him, he ran away. We caught up with him in the Harra and stoned him to death.
Jazakallah khair. Now this hadith is regarding Ma'iz ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, one of the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, fell into one of the traps of shaitan, committed adultery, and could not bear his heart burning with sin. He could not live with it. Remorse was killing him. So he went to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, wanting to be purified, wanting to be relieved from this pain and agony so that he would come on the day of judgment without any sins pertaining to that. So he comes to the Prophet alayhi salam in front of the people in the masjid and said, Oh Prophet of Allah, purify me, for I have committed the act of zina. The Prophet alayhi salam turns his face away from him, giving him a chance to go. He does this four times. And this is an issue of dispute among scholars. Is it necessary for the judge, when someone confesses committing fornication, to ask him to repeat that four times, which takes the place of four witnesses? It's an issue of dispute, but the most authentic opinion that it is not. Why? You remember last program, the Prophet sent Unais to the man's wife, and he did not tell him, ask her four times. So a confession, one confession does the job. And the hadith, the narration, scholars say the number of times repeated by the man is an issue of dispute among narrators. Some say that he repeated it three times. Some say he repeated it twice. So the four times repetition of the confession is not mandatory at all. So the Prophet ﷺ, and this tells us how judges should act. If someone comes and says, I stole money, you don't immediately go and tell someone, chop his hand off, because maybe he does not know what the word steal mean. Maybe he stole from his father, and stealing from one's father is not punishable by this. Maybe he did that, so you have to ask. So the Prophet said, Asam, are you crazy? And he did not only ask him, because it wouldn't be logical to ask someone who's insane, are you insane? What would he say? Definitely not. So he asked the people around him, his people, his tribe, is he crazy? And they said, no, he is in his sound mind. Then the Prophet asked the companions, go and smell his mouth. Maybe he's drunk. And when someone is drunk, he's not held accountable for what he says. They said, no, he's not drunk, he's sober. So the Prophet asked him, maybe you touched. In another hadith, the Prophet went all the way until he said to him the actual word of intercourse. So he said, maybe you touched, maybe you kissed, maybe you hugged. Until he told him, did you do this? And the man, yes. He said to the Prophet, I did exactly what a man does with his wife, but I was not married to her. When he confessed in this way that leaves no other solution but to implement the punishment, the Prophet ordered them, alayhi salam, to stone him. And stoning is the punishment for a person who commits an act of adultery when he's married or have been previously married. Once they started to stone him, and the scholars say you don't stone him with small pebbles or with big rocks. It has to be something medium. And scholars differ. Do we have to dig a hole in the ground so that he would not escape? And there is no authentic opinion or authentic hadith that proves this. So scholars say, no, this is not needed or mandatory. So they threw a stone. Once he felt the pain, he ran away. So they ran after him a few miles or so until they caught up with him in a place called Al-Harra. Al-Harra is the volcanic black stones. It's an area known in Medina. So they threw stones until he died. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that he had repented a repentance that if distributed to half of the population of Medina or 70 houses of Medina, it would have sufficed them. Meaning that Allah has accepted his repentance. And this is, generally speaking, what the hadith has in it regarding the rulings pertaining to the prescribed punishment. It's not time for Q&A, but if you have a quick question, go ahead.
You said that repentance, it was considering about different hadiths of the
woman. There are two hadiths, one of the Ghamidiyya, the woman, Al-Ghamidiyya, and of Ma'iz. In both of them, the Prophet ﷺ commented and praised their repentance. In one narration, he said that she has repented the repentance that if distributed on half of the people of Medina or 70 houses of Medina, it would suffice. The other one was related also to one of them that the Prophet said about Ma'iz, he had repented the repentance. If a person collecting taxes repented, Allah would have forgiven him, which also highlights the danger of working and collecting taxations because it's unlawful to take the money of the people for no legitimate reason. And hadith number 350 also falls under the same lines of stoning and fornication and the prescribed punishment from Allah. Who would read that for us?
Abdullah ibn Umar reported that the Jews came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and mentioned to him that a man and a woman had committed adultery. Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said to them, what do you find in the Torah regarding the stoning? They said, we exposed them and flogged them. Abdullah bin Salam said, you are lying. There is a verse on stoning. So they brought the Torah and opened it, and one of them put his hand on the verse and read what was before it and after it. Abdullah ibn Salam ordered him to lift his hand. He lifted and the verse on stoning was there. The Jews said, he is telling the truth, O Muhammad. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam ordered them to be stoned. Abdullah ibn Umar said, I saw the man protecting her with his body while being stoned. He said the one who had put his hand was Abdullah bin Suriyah.
Jazakallah khair. The hadith now is regarding the act of adultery, but not from Muslims, from non-Muslims. So the story is clear. The Jews come to Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam for asking him about the judgment, the ruling. And why would they come to the Prophet ﷺ if it's in their books? Because thinking that there might be something lesser and more easier. So he asked them ﷺ, what is the ruling in your Bible? Not that he would apply that. He asked them so that they would expose their lying and saying falsehood. Because in the Muslim countries, in countries where Sharia is dominating, we apply the Sharia law on the non-Muslims as well, because the non-Muslims are addressed by the bigger or the major and the minor aspects and matters of Sharia. We don't say that a kafir is only addressed to say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, accept Islam, the major things. No, even the small things. So if it's forbidden for a man to wear gold, it's also forbidden for a non-Muslim man to wear gold. He's addressed and he will be punished for that. Not only for his kufr, for his disbelief, he'd be punished for consuming wine, eating pork, fornicating. All of these will be also part of his punishment. So the law of Islam must be applied on all. So they came to the Prophet ﷺ telling him, and the Prophet asked him, what do you find in your Torah, in the Old Testament? What do you find? So they said, the ruling in the Torah is that we shame them and flog them. Shaming them is to cover their faces in tar and make them on a mule back to back and take them around the town so that everyone would see them and know them. And flogging them is known. Abdullah ibn Salam was one of their scholars, one of the Jew scholars. And when the Prophet came to Medina, alayhi salatu wasalam, Abdullah ibn Salam said, and heard of him, Abdullah said, I wanted to look at his face and listen to him. He says that the minute I saw the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was a Jew, he said, I realized that this is not the face of a liar. And I accepted Islam, and I told the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the Jews are people of deceit and lying. So let me hide behind the curtain and ask them about me. So the Prophet ﷺ sent for the rabbis and the scholars of the Jews. They came and the Prophet told them, what do you think of Abdullah ibn Salam? And they said, he is our greatest scholar. He is the best of us and the son of our master. So Abdullah came out from the curtain and said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu Muhammadan Rasulullah. They said, he is the worst of us and he is the liar of all liars. So Abdullah said, O Prophet of Allah, didn't I tell you? We have a short break. Stay tuned and inshallah, we'll be right back.